Welcome, everybody. I'm so excited that you're here to spend some time studying the course together. Let's begin for just a few moments by turning within and coming together to that place of love within that we all share. This holy instant we give to the Holy Spirit. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to Chapter 7 in the Sparkle Edition. We're on page 168. It is Chapter 7, and the subheading is The Confusion of Strength and Weakness. If you're listening in and you have the original edition, it is Chapter 7, Part 11, also called The Confusion of Strength and Weakness, paragraph number 101. And last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is Chapter 7, Part 10, paragraph 3, sentence 4. So it's actually beginning mid-paragraph in the FIP edition. And we might, if you're following along with this edition, you might be noticing some differences along the way. In my hard copy of the book, it's page 134, so again, paragraph 3, sentence number 4. And we'll take it a paragraph or two at a time. And so this section, actually, the subheading sums it up quite well. It talks all about how we are confused between our true strength and the weakness of the ego. We think that what the ego brings is actually what makes us happy, and this is all about how we are very confused. So let's begin. You no more recognize what is painful than you know what is joyful, and are, in fact, very apt to confuse the two. The Holy Spirit's main function is to teach you to tell them apart. However strange it may seem that this is necessary, it obviously is. The reason is equally obvious. What is joyful to you is painful to the ego, and as long as you are in doubt about what you are, you will be confused about joy and pain. This confusion is the cause of the whole idea of sacrifice. Obey the Holy Spirit and you will be giving up the ego, but you will be sacrificing nothing. On the contrary, you will be gaining everything. If you believe this, there would be no conflict. Hi, Deidre.
Oh.
Welcome, Deidre. We're glad that you're here. She might be muted. So, okay.
Hi.
So hi.
I was muted.
We just
hi,
read
Deidre.
The first paragraph
hi.
On the section of The Confusion of Strength and Weakness on page 168 in the Sparkle edition.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. So this quite clearly states that just we don't know the difference between what is painful and what is joyful. We think that what is joyful to the ego is actually what makes us happy, and that's always the ego, again, is always looking for separation and for specialness. And so we think that that makes us happy, but that is actually, obviously, as we know by now, that isn't what makes us happy. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to tell these two things apart, to come to learn what really makes us happy, you know, and what really gives us pain, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to tell these things apart. And it goes on to say, too, I really like this sentence, how it says, the obey the Holy Spirit and you will be giving up the ego, but you will be sacrificing nothing. So as we obey, again, tends to, that can have, I think, some fearful connotations because there's no, there's no negative in that term obey. Obey simply means in this context that we are choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so in doing so, we're choosing to not side with the ego, and we learn that we're really giving up nothing when we choose for the Holy Spirit instead of for the ego. So there's some good sentences in here. Did anything come forward for anybody in this paragraph?
I'm trying to think of some kind of practical, example of what of what this is saying, but nothing's really coming into mind.
So the thing that comes forward for me, in terms of what is joyful to you is painful to the ego. Wait, I'm sorry. Actually, I was thinking about what's joyful to the ego, and you know what actually causes us pain. And then I can think of another example, too, for what is joyful to you is painful to the ego. So the ego always is looking for separation and specialness, right? So the ego thinks that that is what's – we are confused in thinking that that's what's going to make us happy. So if we can, you know, do something really special in the world, make ourselves, you know, better than others and just more special, set apart in some way – the ego is saying that that's going to make us happy. So we do this all the time, you know, right? I mean, we can probably think of a million examples at work, wanting to do something that sets us apart from others, wanting to, you know, achieve something that, you know, we'll leave behind or we'll be remembered for. And so that's what the ego is telling us is going to make us happy. And what we're doing in listening to the ego when we pursue those things is simply reinforcing this belief in separation, that we are a body, that we are separate. And what is that doing? But it's choosing to affirm that, yes, we are these bodies. Yes, we're subject to death and sickness and all the things that come along with that.
You know, Corinne, this is a tough one, because every time you turn on that television, every time you open a magazine, everywhere you turn, everything points in that direction.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And
it sure does. And it's not that we... Again, because we are supposed to have fun while we're here, so it's not that we have to, again, give up anything. It's,
right.
Instead, which teacher are we going to do it with? So if I am, you know, wanting to put on some really flashy nail polish, this is a silly example, because I'm looking
I saw
at
some flashy shoes in the mall today, I'll tell you that.
I was looking at my purple nail polish next to me on the desk. If we're putting on something or buying something to try to, you know, set ourselves apart, we can do that with the ego, or we can instead do that with the Holy Spirit, bring it to the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen when we bring it to the Holy Spirit and choose to do these things with the Holy Spirit is that we're doing it with a different purpose, and we're being willing to be taught then that these things don't make us happy, that we don't need them, you know, for our happiness, and that learning comes gently and with joy and with love through the Holy Spirit rather than through pain with the ego. Just to give you a stupid little example, like, you know, you find out somebody else has even flashier nail polish on.
Oh, and then a better car, a better house.
A better car. So, exactly. Substitute any belonging, anything. So, you know, the ego is going to bring some sort of pain with that. The Holy Spirit is going to bring, you know, a gentle lesson when we're choosing to bring these things to the Holy Spirit instead.
So it's never really not to have those things, but to recognize that they don't make you any less or more than anyone else.
They're nothing, right?
They're really nothing.
Unimportant. They're unimportant.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really beautiful. It sounds like it's also about intention.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
One thing that, because I do have an interface, this is Priscilla, by the way, I have an interface approach to my practice. I am always seeing connections between, for example, Buddhism and the Course and Christianity and, you know, different practices that I am exposed to. And I think in Buddhism what it's related to is that you can be in the world but not necessary of the world.
Yeah.
And that you can, it's okay to experience pleasure in the material experience, but for there to be a sort of buffer where you're not attaching yourself to that pleasure, because the attachment is what brings the suffering. So is that a safe comparison, or is there something more or less in the Course with regard to what you're describing?
That's a great, I thought that all of the examples that you gave were fantastic in terms of, you know, not attaching yourself, but being about the intention. I guess the Course piece, for instance, with the, let's use the example of, you know, not attaching yourself to that material thing.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with the Course is that there's still that choice to choose to not be attached to it of your own, like your own, you know, choice with the ego. So you know, you by yourself are saying, well, I'm just not going to attach, you know, I can enjoy this, but I'm just not going to attach myself to it. Versus what the Course is guiding us to do is to not correct ourselves by ourselves, and instead to maybe take that willingness to not attach to it and give it to the Holy Spirit instead, because the ego is so insidious that it'll get in there somehow. And if we're giving, you know, our willingness, let's say, to not attach to some, you know, material possession, if we're giving that willingness to the Holy Spirit, it will be used on behalf of helping us wake up. If we're doing it on our own, then that can be, like, for instance, and I bring this up as an example because I kind of think about this a lot, that whole idea of the spiritual ego, where, you know, our ego will get in there and be like, well, I'm going to be spiritual now, and I'm going to, you know, just not attach to this, and that ego sneaks in there again, just because, like the Course says, there's just no area of our perception that it hasn't touched. So that's the only, I guess, clarification that I would add, because I think all the examples that you gave were great, is simply to still have that willingness to let the Holy Spirit do the correcting, or, you know, the be in charge of the perception shifts, rather than making those shifts come about ourselves. Does that make sense?
God, yeah.
Yes. It really does. And I think another distinction as you were speaking that comes to mind, and correct me if I'm not in the right direction, but it seems also that with the Course, there is the Holy, is the Holy Spirit considered, this, maybe I should say it as a question, is the Holy Spirit considered a part of our inner being, or something that's outside of it?
Part of our inner being, definitely.
Okay.
And everything is part of our, you know, we're part of God. We're part of each other. The Holy Spirit is that part of our higher mind that hasn't forgotten who we really are. So there's the Course says very clearly, there's nothing outside of you. It's all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all within, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's great. If that's the case, then it does those, what you're saying, and also the Buddhist teaching about non-attachment, it seems like they can be analogous, not the same, but
mm-hmm.
you know,
analogous. Yeah,
similar.
Great.
some of them.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank
cool.
You.
Thank you, Priscilla. Those are great. That was all great input.
This is such an interesting topic.
Right.
Because, yeah, I find it really interesting because I think just from my own experiences and people that I know, the ego really gets in there and likes to use anything that we associate with joy to make us feel guilty or that we don't deserve certain things. And material things is one of those areas, and money, having money, is one of those areas. And I keep getting messages from Spirit that on a global scale, we need to raise our self-worth, because it has nothing to do with, you know, like enjoying things and having things and physical wealth or whatever, have nothing to do with, you know, being good or bad or any of that, but we tend to attach it to those belief systems.
Right, right.
And that's where the ego comes in and likes to use whatever the thing is, whether it's a phone or making a certain amount of money, and make us feel guilty for having that desire, where in Spirit's point of view, there is no such thing. We're actually creating that, so we're holding ourselves in resistance to allowing ourselves to enjoy an experience. So it's really interesting.
That is, and that's great. Like, that's a great thing to be able to have that willingness to look at those beliefs that might come up. For instance, you know, whatever those subtle beliefs may be, you know, if I have enough money, I must be doing, you know, well spiritually, or if I, the flip side, you know, I can't be spiritual and have money because they just don't go together, whatever those beliefs are. It's just so important to have that willingness to allow them to come up, to look at them with the Holy Spirit, because you're absolutely right. The ego will get in there however it can.
Yeah, it really is a double-edged, like with the example that you just gave, Corinne, like there's examples on both extremes.
Mm-hmm.
The belief that you can't be spiritual and make a lot of money, for example, that is so prevalent in our society. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that from Spirit's perspective, there is no distinction,
right,
whether you have a lot of money or you don't.
They're two sides of the same coin.
It's our belief system. If we're creating either that belief or the opposite belief.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit doesn't take a side, if you will.
Right, it's still part of the illusion.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
So
yep.
There's no, like, whatever experience you're attracting to yourself is in direct relation to whatever your belief system is about that thing.
It takes a lot of awareness, you know, to be conscious of this contrast in our daily lives. Man.
Yeah, and that's how the Holy Spirit is going to use, you know, the contrast that we've made. The Holy Spirit uses that contrast to teach us, you know, what does make us happy and what doesn't.
What seems to help as I go along is really, again, and I keep saying this, I sound like I'm harping on it, but, you know, the two voices and the two choices, because I will hear something like, I'll see somebody with a lot of money and think, well, are they really deserving of that? Well, when I think a thought like that, you know, right away, it's just so obvious to me that, no, God wouldn't be thinking that. You know, that's got to be that other voice.
Right.
So
right.
That, but really being calm enough or being in that state of, you know, being centered enough to catch those thoughts, because they come and go real quick.
Yes, they do.
And,
yeah, it's something that we really use to separate from people for sure.
Yes, 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 yes.
And those
absolutely.
Fleeting thoughts, there are no idle thoughts. Our mind is constantly creating or making, and it's going to be doing so, you know, with the Holy Spirit or with the ego. So catching those fleeting thoughts that can be really, really, really ugly and very socially unacceptable.
yeah,
and acknowledging
yeah.
them and owning them and saying, okay, you know, here's what's coming up. I'm willing to look at this with the Holy Spirit. I'm not, you know, I'm willing to not hide it again or just push it out of my mind or say, oh, you know, I didn't actually think that.
I think this is one of the really beautiful just being in touch with this material every week with this group. I think it just helps me so much from week to week to kind of keep that balance going, you know, because if I'm not focused on the Course or again, Buddhism or something that's spiritually oriented, I can fly off and
Mm-hmm. And Paula, harp on the two voices and two choices. Please bring it up.
Yeah.
That's every minute. Like, that's every moment. This is a moment-to-moment practice. This isn't just, you know, I mean, sometimes it is just do your lesson in the morning and then forget about it all day because that's just where we're at. But this really becomes a moment-to-moment practice, choice in terms of
absolutely.
Which voice it is we're going to listen to. And so every time you bring that up is a very, very helpful reminder that we always have two voices available to us and two choices in terms of which one it is that we're going to listen to, the ego or the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So harp on it, please.
and really, really, how do I want to feel in this moment? How do I want to feel in this moment is what it always comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because what do we want? Why are we even doing this in the first place? We want to feel good. We want to be happy. That's God's will for us.
Right.
He's not kidding. That workbook lesson, God's will for us is perfect happiness, he's not kidding.
Right.
He really wants us to be happy.
I love
this
that.
Whole book
kidding.
Is just about love. That's all it's about.
Mm-hmm.
At every turn.
Very true. Yep, very true.
Does anyone have any?
Oh, go on.
Sorry.
No,
I just wanted to know if anyone has any suggestions for how they're able to discern between the voice of God and the voice of the ego.
How does it make you feel?
Mm. That's a good indicator, and the Course says that too.
See,
you know.
It's the best indicator, because if you are not feeling, if you are feeling anxious or a lack of confidence,
or lack of peace, any lack of peace,
lack of peace, then you're not listening for the voice for God, because if you're feeling, you know, this week was such a good example of this. There was a lot of pushing at work to get a job done on my part. They were pushing me all week. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. And I was feeling a lot of anxiety, you know, around, because I know how long it takes and what it takes to get this job done. And I thought, you know, I can't possibly be in alignment with God and feel this way. And then I realized that one line in here, I will step back and let him lead the way. And I thought to myself, I'm going to let him do this work for me. And it came through me. I'm telling you, I got that job done on Friday. Now, I have to go in tomorrow morning, and it's ready for the person who needs it next.
Wow.
And I really, had that not occurred to me, I would have struggled through the whole thing. I would have been just miserable and a mess. But I felt such such
that's
a feeling
awesome.
Of confidence that yeah, it's done.
Yeah, that's a great example.
It's done. He's doing it through me. I'm getting out of the way here, and he's doing it for me. Jesus, whatever, the Holy Spirit, whatever this beautiful
right,
thing
right.
is that comes, you know, that comes through us.
Yeah, awesome. You know, I'll add too, and I agree that, you know, the best indication of who we're listening to is our feelings. Are we feeling peaceful or are we feeling that lack of peace? And yet there's times when I'll admit this, I'm not sure if it's my
yeah.
voice or if it's the Holy Spirit's voice, because sometimes my voice can sound really damn good. Very peaceful, you know?
Convincing.
So, very convincing. So
yeah.
The times when I'm not sure, I'll say, you know, I'm not, the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know who I'm listening to. I'm willing to listen to you, but here you go. Again, here's my my uncertainty and, you know, my willingness to hear. Here you go. I'm going to just trust that even if I am listening to my own voice, I'm still bringing you along. You know, I'm still not going to forget about you. So there's really no way you can get it wrong. It's just, again, about having that even tiny, tiny, tiny bit of willingness.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, because the ego loves to get in there and try to tell you that you're not hearing the voice of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you actually are.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's awesome.
That is the ego every time.
Yep.
That feeling of a lack of confidence is
mm-hmm.
the ego.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
You already know, like, it's already inside
yep.
you. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of peeling back the layers of the onion skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Thank you.
Awesome. I think we've been at this for over half an hour and still only read one paragraph again. I think this happens like every week. Okay, let's read the next paragraph. All right, so I'm just going to read the very end of the first paragraph. Obey the Holy Spirit and you will be giving up the ego, but you will be sacrificing nothing. On the contrary, you will be gaining everything. If you believe this, there would be no conflict. Paragraph 2. That is why you need to demonstrate the obvious to yourselves. It is not obvious to you. You believe that doing the opposite of God's will can be better for you. You also believe that it is possible to do the opposite of God's will. Therefore, you believe that an impossible choice is open to you, and one which is both very fearful and very desirable. Yet God wills. He does not wish. Your will is as powerful as his because it is his. The ego's wishes do not mean anything because the ego wishes for the impossible. You can wish for the impossible, but you can will only with God. This is the ego's weakness and your strength. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. The Holy Spirit always sides with you and with your strength. As long as you avoid his guidance in any way, you want to be weak. Yet weakness is frightening. What else then can this decision mean except that you want to be fearful? The Holy Spirit never asks for sacrifice, but the ego always does. When you are confused about this very clear distinction in motivation, it can only be due to projection. Projection of this kind is a confusion in motivation, and given this confusion, trust becomes impossible. So I'll pause there.
Can I just say one thing, Corinne?
Please.
That last line that says the Holy Spirit never asks you to sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
think about that in terms of what our belief systems are about anything materialistic. Like, how often do we feel that, oh, if I want something, I have to sacrifice for it,
mm-hmm.
or I have to give something up for it,
right.
or I have to work really, really hard, otherwise mm-hmm. I don't deserve it.
Right.
And that is so the opposite of what God is saying.
Yep. Oh, that's such an important
wow.
line. Such an important line, because we you're absolutely right, Deidre. This idea of sacrifice and attributing sacrifice to God, you know, something that we have to give up, or if I give this all to God, it's going to all fall apart, you know, things will be taken away from me. It runs really, really deep, this belief in sacrifice, and you're absolutely right. It's God never, never, never asks for sacrifice. The Holy Spirit never asks for sacrifice.
And it's the thing that trips us up is that belief in sacrifice is so ingrained in who we think we are,
mm-hmm.
that it's so insidious that it keeps us blocked from the light that's really inside us.
Right.
If mm-hmm. if we could just let go of that idea of sacrifice offering, because there is not no such thing.
Right. Oh, that was
yeah.
beautiful.
That
Thank
brings
you
two
so
questions
much.
To mind.
Mm-hmm.
Actually three, but I'll stay with one because I don't wanna bombard you with my questions and my
good.
Doubts. So one is that it seems so, in relation to Christianity, it just seems so, it just so makes sense that there would be sacrifice involved because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And when I find myself really sacrificing or struggling or suffering, it actually helps me to think of the crucifixion, because whatever pain I could be going through cannot possibly come even close to what Jesus has gone through. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah. So it might be really helpful for you to take a look, and I could maybe at the end of the call, I could get your email address. There's a whole mm-hmm. section in the course that directly addresses the message of the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very profound and very, it's for me, it's always been very, very, very comforting, because Jesus basically is saying through the course that the whole point of the crucifixion was the resurrection. It's not that Jesus
right.
died for our sins or, you
right.
know, any of those teachings. He
mm-hmm.
went through this to demonstrate that death is completely made up. It's a completely
mm.
made up concept that
mm-hmm.
is not true. And that's the deepest, you know, message of the course
mm-hmm.
that we're studying. So I know it says in part of that section that, you know, from an upside down perception, it appears that God, you know, let his son go through this and that there was horrible, horrible suffering. But when, you know, we can see it differently, again, you know, through the help of Jesus' teachings through the course and through the Holy Spirit, it actually becomes a, you know, again, a beautiful demonstration that this really, really is all a dream, that, you know, there was no sacrifice that he made because he could not be killed. So I don't,
Corinne, don't you also agree that the longer you read this material, the longer you involve yourself with it, the more real he becomes.
Absolutely.
The more,
oh my gosh.
he is so real to me through this material that really, and it sounds, I mean, death becomes kind of laughable.
Yeah.
The more you get involved in this, because he is so alive.
Yeah, I totally.
He
agree.
Is only about life.
To your point, Paula, I used to not be able to say Jesus' name, like, or
me
even
too.
Mutter Jesus. Like, I knew he had something to do with the Course, and I knew he was talking in it, but for years, even studying the Course, I could not even bring myself to say Jesus' name. And it has only been through, you know, the miracles I have experienced, this, you know, deepening practice with the Course, exactly what you just said, Paula, that he's become very, very alive, and you're absolutely, absolutely right. I love how you said that, that he's all about life and what real life is, and that's not what we perceive it to be here. It's not about the body at all. It's coming to wake up, you know, to see that actually we are not these bodies. So I'm glad that you added that, Paula.
I had a contrasting experience that was absolutely, for me, the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because about a week before I became involved with the Course in Miracles, I drove past, I was either with friends or somebody, I drove past a little store in, I guess it's in, it was up in Red Bank, it's still in Red Bank, called Earth Spirits. And if you would use the word, if you talk to me about Jesus at that time, I would have absolutely run in the other direction.
Uh-huh.
I remember passing this store thinking, who are those freaks? What? You know, so shut down, I can't even tell you. And within a week, the Course in Miracles came into my life, and I totally had an about face that I needed that kind of contrast, though. Jesus, he's so smart. really, the way this came to me, I'll never forget it.
That's awesome.
Same with me.
Yeah. Awesome. Priscilla, does that, there's a lot that we could get into with that, and that's why I was thinking it might be most helpful for you to look at that section in the Course. And are you on either Miracle Share or Her Future?
I'm on Her Future, and yeah, I'd love to send you my email address. And, you know, it's interesting because the way that I got into A Course in Miracles was actually maybe 20 years ago. I read Marianne Williamson, and it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I started to read her again and then remember The Course in Miracles. But I remember in her book, A Return to Love, which is so beautiful, where she talks about how the crucifixion is that Jesus experienced this as a way of, or, you know, as a way of showing, but that we don't have to choose the crucifixion. We can choose, because of Jesus, that we can choose the resurrection every day.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So it's interesting that I know that, and I believe that, and I remind myself of that as much as I possibly can. But alongside of that, at the same time, I do also hold these very strong beliefs that are rooted in familial and cultural patterns that also say that sacrifice is necessary in order, and that sacrifice is rewarded. And, you know, in my life, I think the way that it's played out is never that sacrifice always being necessary, because I'm never quite good enough.
Yeah, and those are all, I think you're hitting on such important things because, you know, our culture, you know, however it was that we were brought up, all those beliefs, again, they come up specifically to be an opportunity to look at them in mm-hmm. with the light of the Holy Spirit rather than, you know, again, with the ego's traditional, you know, perhaps interpretations of things. And you're absolutely mm-hmm. right. It says in the course, actually, I know Marianne Williamson wrote about this in her book, that yes, indeed, you know, we do not need to be crucified. We
right.
often react like we are being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus took that last useless journey, and we don't have to, you know, keep repeating it in every, you know, moment. So, yeah, so all of those things that we carry are opportunities to, the Course asks us to question every belief that it is that we hold, everything, and, you know, again, to be willing to perhaps think or to question and see maybe, just maybe, you know, that maybe we've been mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all that. It's a pretty powerful ingrained belief, I think, for probably all of us that, or most of us, that sacrifice is something that's necessary and is rewarded. If I give this up, then, you know, here I am making this, you know, this sacrifice, and there's got to be some reward for it. But what is that? But if we think we're sacrificing something, we think we're, I don't know if I'm going to have the words. There's a belief there that there's something, my ego's getting in the way. It came through my mind quickly. It was Spirit's voice and it fluttered through and then my ego was like, nope, not going to say that. It had to do something with the effect of, you know, when we believe in sacrifice, we're simply affirming that everything here is something that's very important and worth saving, whereas the Course is teaching us to learn to see again that nothing here is a reflection of who we actually really are. That's the best I can do for now.
Wow.
I don't know if that made sense or not.
Yeah.
Boy, it sure did.
Did it?
Yeah.
That was great.
Okay, good. It's funny. Just
sacrifice
getting...
is also.
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's okay. I was just gonna say it's becoming. I am getting moments of being clearer and clearer of being able to see when, you know, I have moments of the Holy Spirit speaking to me and then my ego getting in there really quickly and being like, oh, nope, not gonna go there. So that's all I was gonna say. Please go on, Deidre.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, what just came to me while you were speaking was that, and this is Spirit, not me, but, you know, Spirit, that the whole idea of sacrifice and competition are linked. The two ideas are linked.
Mm.
And that was pretty profound to me, that because...
Oh, Deidre,
it's all about.
How do you see that? I think you've just hit on something, really.
Because it's about how we see ourselves as separate.
Mm-hmm.
Competition. Right. Competition creates all these separate identities, and we're competing because we want something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, whatever
again,
it is,
has some kind
we
of
want.
Right, and if we don't get it.
Right.
We have
sacrificed. So we're willing to sacrifice to get. And so we're placing ourselves, like on some level, even if it's subconscious, we're willing to sacrifice because we think that we need approval. We need, you know, we need to sacrifice to prove that we're good enough, that we're worthy. To earn our place in the world. and all of these ideas, but all of those ideas are of the ego. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a one person, like this is a global scale issue for everyone on the planet on some level.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's because, again, there's one split mind. You're absolutely right. It's a global issue because just by being seemingly in these bodies, we've already chosen to listen to the ego. We've already,
yeah,
you know, decided to believe in, you know, this dream of separation simply by our choice to come here. Yeah, wow. That's cool, Deidre. Very, very profound.
It's really something to take a look at.
It is.
I'm going to pray for clarity around that this week.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow, Deidre, thank you very much. Did you add in everything that you wanted to? I feel like I may have interrupted you. Okay, good. Wow, awesome. All right, let's tackle another paragraph. We'll see if we can get in a few more. Okay. No one obeys gladly a guide he does not trust, but this does not mean that the guide is untrustworthy. In this case, it always means that the follower is. However, this too is merely a matter of his own belief. Believing he can betray, he believes that everything can betray him. Yet this is only because he has elected to follow false guidance. Unable to follow this guidance without fear, he associates fear with guidance and refuses to follow any guidance at all. The Holy Spirit is perfectly trustworthy, as you are. God himself trusts you, and therefore your trustworthiness is beyond question. It will always remain beyond question, however much you may question it. Can I do two more paragraphs? I'm going to go for it. We said before that you are the will of God. His will is not an idle wish, and your identification with his will is not optional, since it is what you are. Sharing his will with me is not really open to choice, although it may seem to be. The whole separation lies in this fallacy. The only way out of the fallacy is to decide that you do not have to decide anything. Everything has been given you by God's decision. That is his will, and you cannot undo it. Even the relinquishment of your false decision-making prerogative, which the ego guards so jealously, is not accomplished by your wish. It was accomplished for you by the will of God, who has not left you comfortless. His voice will teach you how to distinguish between pain and joy, and will lead you out of the confusion which you have made. There is no confusion in the mind of a son of God, whose will must be the will of the Father, because the Father's will is his Son. Miracles are in accord with the will of God, whose will you do not know because you are confused about what you will. This means that you are confused about what you are. If you are God's will and do not accept his will, you are denying joy. The miracle is therefore a lesson in what joy is. Being a lesson in sharing, it is a lesson in love, which is joy. Every miracle is thus a lesson in truth, and by offering truth, you are learning the difference between pain and joy. All right. So I'm going to start. What did anything, there's a bunch of things in here, did anything stand out to anybody in particular as we were reading?
This paragraph,
yeah.
The whole separation lies in this choice, though it may seem to be, wait a minute. The whole separation lies in this fallacy. Wait,
Yeah, that's it. The only way out of the fallacy.
That paragraph right there.
Yeah.
We said before that you are the will of God. His will is not an idle wish, and your identification with his will is not optional, since it is what you are. Sharing his will with me is not really open to choice. I love this. Though it may seem to be, the whole separation lies in this fallacy. The only way out of the fallacy is to decide that you do not have to decide anything. That's that I do not know.
Yes.
Boy,
yes.
I'm telling you, when I get in this craziness and I'm aware enough to stop myself and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, I don't know anything.
That's,
I don't know anything.
Yeah,
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
It is done. That to me speaks to this.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. This teaching that it is done already. We are already healed. We are already whole. We simply have to accept it. We simply have to accept what is already there. That's it. It is done. We don't have to decide anything. The whole crazy dream has been undone already.
In every situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We can simply rest. And, of course, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like how I said before, you have to be vigilant to finally learn you don't need to be vigilant at all. It's exactly that. We sort of spin our wheels and think that all this work has to get done and we have all these perceptions that need to be healed to finally come to a point where we realize that we need to.
But wait a minute. No, there is no, you really do have to keep a vertical alignment. In order to know that you need to do nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That can't. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. We have to come to that place.
The only reason we have to be vigilant is because the ego is hanging on so tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with like who we really are. It's just that the closer we come to spirit, the more ego hangs on.
Yeah. And yet the ego, you know, the ego at the same time, though, is nothing but an idea. So it's our wanting. It goes back to that line that we read tonight where it says you must want.
But the thing is, though,
we've
confused that, I think. Like, that is so a part of our identity, that fear energy, that we think that that's who we are, and we don't know how to, we're afraid to be different. We're afraid to let the love in because we don't know what the change will be.
Mm-hmm.
So if we knew any better on a different level, we would choose. But it's not even that we're consciously choosing, I want to be afraid.
Right. No, it's absolutely not conscious at all.
It's that whole idea of identifying ourselves with pain.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are more comfortable in the pain because they know what to expect. They know that's part of their...
It's familiar.
Yeah, it's their identity of who they are.
Right.
It's the pain.
I think sometimes it's almost a fear of what will I be if I don't follow the pattern that everyone else is following. Will I be alienated? Will I feel alone? Will I be an outcast?
Yeah.
I'll be different from everybody else. Will I even be human anymore if I don't buy into these codes that everyone's following?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been part of when I'm sort of at that crossroad of, like, I can choose. You can choose to suffer if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's your right to choose to suffer. You have
Boy,
the right
there,
to choose.
There you go. That
Either
is
one.
That, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yeah.
It's that
exactly.
that drive
exactly.
to be right.
Yeah.
But what I also am picking up from what we're reading, which is so profound and so beautiful, is that our will is actually not separate from the will of God. Did I get that correctly?
Yes. You did.
Yes, you did.
So if our will is not really separate from the will of God, then we're choosing to suffer because we're not aligned with what the Holy Spirit, God, and our higher self really wants for us. And it makes me think of Jan-La Van Zandt wrote a book many years ago called One Day My Soul Opened Up. And there she talks about different kinds of emotions that we experience regularly. And one of them is confusion. And she says that confusion is basically our fear of getting what we want. So this passage actually reminds me of that. It's confusion is, you know, fear of accepting that, hey, I want a certain thing, so we will create that separation from, that we will create this separation between what our higher self wants and what our ego wants. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the wrong direction, but
no,
it just
no,
that, came that, to mind.
Yeah, no.
I think
true.
The only problem we do have is when we're not in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not in, when we're not in alignment with God, that's the only problem we have. That
mm-hmm.
forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, we are actually a little past the top of the hour, so thank you, everybody, so much for sharing just such a wonderful discussion, wonderful examples and insights, and thank you, everyone, so much for sharing. So we will pick up same time next week.
Hallelujah.
Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Corinne.
Have a good
night.
Week. Bye.
Good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.